Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Before we go into the intro, the core and the outro of this radio show, I just want to have a little conversation with you personally. And that is, wherever you are listening, I have an invitation for you. If you have been listening to this show for a while, From Stress to Authentic Success, and you are interested in taking charge of your life and having a break free from the fears, from the surviving modus, from the sacrifice, all these things, I am giving a masterclass and a very, very specific little group program. And the masterclass is totally free. So I would love to invite you to go either to my Indeed Instagram account, Danielle_Sachs, or my LinkedIn profile. You look up Danielle Sachs, or my website, www.danielsachs.com, and you can find there a funnel where you can, a lead page where you can subscribe to listen to my masterclass. And this masterclass is totally free, and it will give you absolutely already insights and tools. I'm talking of the big betrayal. I'm talking of a major misconception that we have. I'm talking about the lessons because of the 25th anniversary of my healing story, the lessons and the secrets that I have to tell you about my 25-year journey that can help you straight away. Masterclass free, straight away information, inspiration, and education for you to shift out of your stress, to go from surviving to thriving, to go from really from stress to authentic success. It's all about that. So I invite you from my heart to yours, to my masterclass that I'm giving at the end of this month. So just go and register for the masterclass. Go on my website, go on my social media links, and go for free and listen to magical lessons that I have to share with you about how to shift out of your stress. So I will be so happy to see you on that side. Hello to you, beautiful you, wherever you are in the world, whether it is morning, afternoon, evening, whatever part of the world you are at, and whatever platform you are listening to, UK Health Radio platform, the most amazing internet radio with so much info and inspiration, all for you out there, to invite you, to inspire you and motivate you, as you know by now, to take your life from stress to authentic success. And I am so excited today because I had an email in my inbox not so long ago from Lisa Bloom. Now, you have to know that Lisa and I, we work together because she is one of the best story coaches out there. She is the founder of Story Coach. She works with organizations developing transformational story leaders. She is leading powerful change processes with that power of storytelling. And she works with entrepreneurs, business owners like me, to help them attract ideal clients, find their own success story. Because isn't it true? The power of a story is just so beautiful. And also, Lisa is not just a professional storyteller, a coach, an author, a mentor, and a leadership expert. She has really groundbreaking techniques that have enabled her to grow her business and take it to the international stages. And so it is so beautiful that you have to know that she wrote a book, Story Advantage, that is really, really interesting. So I can't wait to talk to Lisa. But most what I wanted to say is that I saw an email coming in the other day, and I thought maybe I have to talk to Lisa and see, because it has helped me so much to know, to be aware of my life stories, of my moments and events in my life that have impacted myself and that can maybe help other people and impact their lives. Because don't we always love the stories? Because that's where we can see ourselves, and it can be a mirror, it can be an inspiration. So I can't wait to this amazing storyteller and story coach, who will probably tell a few stories that you and I will maybe even recognize ourselves, or will have an awareness or an insight. So I'm sure that this conversation is going to be very authentic. And I know she is a mother of four sons, I believe. And I know that as a mother and as a woman living in the part of the world where she's living in Israel, I am sure that we have so much to talk about, how to go from stress to authentic success. So I can't wait to talk to this beautiful human being, really beautiful human being. And I'll talk to her just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and I am absolutely honored and delighted to speak to Lisa Bloom today. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, we just had a little chat before I put the recording on, and I just want to ask you a bit of a personal question, if that is okay with you, because you in the country that you live in, and you can talk a little bit about it, there's a lot going on there. So there's a lot of stress, and I could almost call it really heavy chronic stress, serious stress going on. And you as a mother are really experiencing this on a high level. Can you elaborate a little bit on the stress that is going on in your life?
Sure. Where do I start? Well, I'm originally from Ireland, and I grew up in Ireland, and I moved to Israel many years ago, and I've lived a big portion of my adult life in Israel. And I, as you mentioned, I have children. In fact, I have four sons, and I always knew the army service here is it's for everybody. You don't get to choose. It's not a professional army, it's a people's army, so everybody has to go into the army. And so three of my four sons have either been in the army or in the army. And of course, as we know, since October 7th, there's been a war going on after the horrific massacre that took place here. So as a mother of, at that time, three children directly involved in the war, it's been incredibly stressful. But even if that weren't the case, just living in a country that is
No.
so, feels like, and it is being attacked from all sides, you're living in this constant state of stress that it's physical, it's emotional, it's mental. And at the same time, I'm running a successful business and I've
Yes.
got to show up. And as the storyteller, I've got to be able to, I can't constantly talk about the trauma. And especially also as you're in the trauma, you really don't feel able to talk about the trauma. And I say that, here we are 125 days since it started.
Yes.
We know how many days because we count the days, because they're the days that hostages are being kept in tunnels and starved and in cages, and women are being raped. I mean, this is major trauma. And you don't even have a chance to integrate the trauma because it's not over. Usually you have trauma and then you learn to integrate it and
Yes.
life goes on. And here,
Yes.
because the trauma is ongoing, it's like I'm only beginning to feel the start of some integration. And that's because my boys are out right now, at least, although I don't know if they'll be called back into reserve duty. And one of my sons who was injured may have to go back. So There's that, there are just so many layers of it
Yes.
that you're living with stress. But having said that, even at the darkest times, in the weeks after it started, when my boys were in the most dangerous of places, we have this incredible will to live and this will to continue, and you find ways to deal with stress. For me, the one thing that was a staple that was so important is that I swim. And the reason that I swim, I mean, I'm not a particularly strong swimmer. I'm not a particularly fast swimmer, but I swim. I was swimming. I have been swimming almost every day since this war broke out. And what I realized very quickly was, when you're stressed, you don't really breathe well. But when you swim, you have to. You have to force yourself to breathe. And so that was the way I've been able to go through it, is just, okay, I go for a swim and I breathe well and I get some oxygen inside of me and I release some of my thinking, and that's allowed me to come back to my work and to and also
And
I
also,
think from the
wouldn't is it not a like a strategy also to, like you say, to process it, and so that it doesn't get stuck into your body? The fact that you're swimming and all these movements are making you also focusing on something else, I believe.
Yeah, no, I do think I mean, I'm a big believer that we hold stress in our bodies more than
Bodies.
anything. I know you know that more than most people after
That's why
what
I'm,
you went through. I remember your stories from all those years ago, even though it's been such a long time since we worked together. So yes, absolutely. I think the movement, I think the very intentional breathing, I think the repetition of swimming, I think all of it is incredibly helpful to move stress through you and to be able to kind of reset at the other end of the pool, as it were. And also, I'm conscious as a storyteller and as an expert on storytelling for business, for life, is that our stories get stuck too. And so, I said to you before we hit record that sometimes, the things you see, you can't unsee, and the things you hear, you can't unhear, but you can let them go. And I think for
That's
me,
powerful.
yeah, I think the physicality of whether it's swimming or walking that I do a lot of, or just any type of intentional practice, meditation, walking, swimming, whatever it is, I can pull up those images, I can remember the thoughts. But I don't have to be living them every single moment of
Agreed.
time. And these are the processes and the things that can help let them go. And
Wow.
also just understanding that you're telling yourself a story. Any trauma is, as you come out of it or as you're in it, there's these stories that are swirling around in your head. And the story is, it's always subjective. So we make them up.
I agree.
And
And there
that
might be
means,
lies, not in the, I'm not saying in this case, but often them our stories, our narrative can be lies.
well, definitely our interpretation can be
Yes.
untrue,
Yes, that's
So
what I
like,
mean.
for example, I'll give you an example that takes me way out of where I am right now. But my father passed away many, many years ago, very young. He was in his mid-60s. And for a long time after he passed away, I would tell myself this story of him suffering and of him, missing and of him being alone and all these things that I realized after I started doing the story work that I had no idea if those stories were true. I don't know what he felt. I don't know if he had pain. I don't know if he felt alone. I don't know any of those things. But while I told myself those stories, I was in deep, deep grief, such that I could never have talked about him like this with you. But when I realized, oh, that's a story I'm telling, it didn't change the fact that he died and that he died young and that I miss him every day, but it changed the story and the impact it had on me emotionally.
Agree.
And so what I've learned in the last 4 months is that you can't make this happen fast. You can't change the story quickly, always, especially when you're in the middle of a trauma, because this trauma hasn't ended for us.
No.
This is still going. But what you can do is just begin to notice how you're spending your time. And when I say time, I mean your thoughts, how you like
Yes.
notice what's in your head,
Yes.
what notice what's going through you. And begin to take care of yourself. At the end of the day, it's this radical kind of self-care, which to
I
me is
agree.
such a foreign concept. It's a very foreign concept to me. I'm not naturally a self-care type person. I'm a go get and go do kind of person. So I've had to really work hard on saying, actually, I'm going to prioritize going for a swim because if I don't, I just can't breathe. I don't know if I can get through this day. So,
Thank
yeah.
you for saying that, because to me, self-care, we take it as a luxury and we often do it only when there's a crisis, but we need to do it as a preventive thing, because look how strong you are, Lisa. I mean, a mother, anyone listening, a mother of any child, one child that is going through something, but having three sons and even four sons at home, or in the, even in the, I just want to mention that living in this, that country where you live at this stage, as you say, is an alertness and continuous kind of danger kind of alertness, not?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, yes. It's a little bit surreal, to be honest, because I drive down the street and I go to my favorite coffee shop and I drink coffee with my friend and we chat. But then you hear the jets going over, or you
Yes.
open up the news and you know what's going on, and the distance is so tiny. So, like, our north border is an hour away, an hour and a half away from my home, and the Gaza border is 2.5 hours in the other direction. And so when my son was injured and had to be evacuated from Gaza, he called us at just after 5 in the morning. By 7, we were in the hospital with him.
Wow.
And so the distances are so small that you can't not feel like, oh my goodness, if this goes on, we could be entirely annihilated. Like, we could be.
Yes.
And then the other thing I think that's a part of this is just the incredible emotional stress around a sense of kind of hopelessness. Like, it's been a conflict that's gone on for so
So
long.
long.
We've got such terrible leadership. There's, you question, is it ever possible for this to pass, that people can live in peace? And I've always been a huge supporter of peace forever. I've always believed that when you hear the story of the other,
Yes.
when you truly hear the story, and when they hear
Yes.
yours, you realize you're so much more alike than you are different.
True.
I believe that in my heart of heart. And then this happened, and it's shaken us. It's shaken all our beliefs of what's possible. Most of the people who were murdered the very first morning of this event were all people who chose to live where they did because they believed in peace, and who were activists, peace activists, and they were the first people to be murdered. So you begin to question this, you begin to
Question
question whether it could
humanity,
pass.
no?
Absolutely. I mean, this event demonstrated such incredible brutality. I've always said I don't believe in evil. And now I don't know. I don't know. And I've
I can
always thought,
understand
people
that.
who get hurt go on to hurt, and so on and so forth. And I get the cycle, and I've been in this trauma cycle for, I understand. But there were levels of evil that I'm not sure the world has ever seen. I mean, it was that bad. It was that bad. When you hear the stories, and I don't even want to, and I'm not going to talk about it because you don't want to hear it, and you don't
Yeah.
want to see the pit,
You don't want to go
but
into the energy of
you
such
don't want to go into
horror.
it. But that's a part of what we're living with. And again, I'm conscious that I just said, when you hear the stories. So the question is, like, there is the reality of what happened.
Yes.
And then there's the stories that are being told. And the stories can create healing, and the stories can create incredible damage. And part of what's so difficult right now for us here is knowing that the world is believing false stories. There's so many fake
Yes.
stories out there. And
Yes.
there's so much of a lack of the real. I mean, I have never talked about this in a public way before, but I agreed to do it when you suggested, because maybe it's time for
Yes.
people to hear
Yes.
the other story.
Yes.
If you're not good at fake news, if you're not good at PR, then you don't get your story heard. Is that how it works? Like, that's, I talk about the like, we're living in this incredible it's like this pandemic of disconnection and fake
I
news and
agree.
disinformation, and that's even more scary than I mean, it's as scary, you know.
And it leads to, like you say, to distrust, to this connection even with ourselves, not just
When you
in
begin to
between
wonder,
people. Yes.
I mean, I think I always had this feeling of, you know, as a Jewish person growing up in Ireland, I always felt different, but I also knew it was my home and I felt safe. And now, as an Israeli, kind of Israeli Jewish Irish, it's a kind of
Yes,
unusual
yes,
mix. I think
yes.
in part of my mind, I always used to think, well, if the politics gets too crazy here, I could go live somewhere else. And now I wonder, with so much anti-Semitism all over the world, with so many attacks on people speaking Hebrew on the streets of New York and streets of London, it's like it's scary.
Yeah,
So
they're
it does make you
scary.
question, as I say, this is very, very multi-layered. There's a lot of layers from the personal of my sons having to serve in Gaza, not by choice, but because they had to. And
How do
to the
you
layer
feel when
of,
it's a child? That for me is, I mean, I have three children and four grandchildren. How do you change your fear for your children? How do you handle that, your stress for your children? Because I lived in South Africa, as you know, and you know, at a certain stage there was a lot of danger also for the whites, you know, and it's all, you know, it's fine when you can take care of yourself. But with small children, as a mother, you want to protect your children. And then we thought, geez, what's going on for that next generation? So how do you, as a mother, how do you do this? What do you say to your sons? I mean, some of them are grown up, like 17-year-old. How do you use the story? What do you put into their head as an example? Are you trying to be an example for them to, you know, how to handle this? How do you do this as a mother?
It's a good question. You know, I remember back in 2014, there was an incident. There was a much lesser war with Gaza. And I remember driving in the car with one of my sons, who, in fact, the one who's now 19, he was maybe, I guess he was 9 at the time, 8 or 9 at the time. And I remember turning on the news and hearing that a particular area in Gaza had been bombed and many, many civilians in Gaza were killed. And as we were driving, I started to cry. And my son, who was, you know, as I say, he was 8 or 9, and the sirens had gone off and we'd run into our safe room several times during that war. And he said to me, "Mummy, why are you crying?" And I said to him, "Because a lot of people died today." And he said to me, "But they're the bad ones. They're the bad guys, and we're the good guys. So why are you crying?" And I said to him, "Well, tell me something. If daddy did something bad, do you think you should go to prison?" And he said, "No." And I said, "And if your brother did something bad, do you think you should be punished?" And he said, "No, of course not." And I said, "Well, a lot of the people who died today, they didn't do anything bad." And he said, "Oh, I see. I see." So I tell you that story because, you know, we've brought up our children with Palestinian friends. We've had Palestinian friends and connections. We have a particular belief about coexistence, or we certainly, I mean, I'm not sure what I believe anymore, but we brought them up in a very much an environment where you respect other people, no matter what their religion is, no matter what their traditions are, and to look for the likeness, not the difference. And then those same boys end up in uniforms, in combat units. My oldest son is a combat medic, and my third son is in combat as well. Again, reserve duty, or it doesn't matter. The point is, I'm hoping that the values that we've instilled in them, they take with them so that they make good
That's
choices when
true.
they're forced to be in a situation. But
Yes.
what they say to me all the time, they say, "Mum, of course we all wish we didn't have to do this, but we have to be safe." You know, one of my sons said to me, "This is my time, Mum. I can help. I can protect
Wow.
a way of life that we want to have, which is democratic, which is liberal, which is the majority of people here. They're not the ones who make the most noise, but it's the majority of people here are democratic, they're liberal, and the fact that they're
Hardworking people who
hardworking
try
people,
to,
exactly.
to make the economy, in such a state of a country. I mean, how do you, to continue the economy as well? I mean, you as a businesswoman, you are doing so well, Lisa. So
Well,
it's
I've been really, really fortunate, and I've never focused particularly on just, I've created an international business
Yes.
because I recognized both my own background and just wanting to continue to work in English and
Yes.
wanting to work. A lot of my clients are in North America, and wanting to have the freedom. I mean, it was because of my family that I chose to this path anyway, right? Because when my kids were little, I didn't want to continue the corporate life, 70-hour a week job. I wanted to be able to work around my family. And so I
Of
chose to
course.
build an online business. And I've been incredibly fortunate to
Yes.
be able to do that.
Yeah.
But yes,
How did
economically,
you
it's
come
that.
to the story? Because I don't know that story. How did you become the expert of the story? What is it?
So,
Something in your childhood or something that you always loved stories or something? What happened there?
well, yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. So firstly, yes, I growing up in Ireland, I felt like I was always surrounded by stories. And growing up in a Jewish Irish family, I kind of say I was genetically predispositioned to be a
Is
storyteller.
it?
But I always loved stories. But what happened was I went into learning and development, and I loved being in a classroom. I loved teaching and doing training. And I found myself telling stories because I think I just naturally told stories, but I noticed that people in the classroom, they would suddenly, I would tell a story and they would wake up and they would respond and they would suddenly want to discuss things because I'd given them an example through a story. And then when my kids were very, very small and we'd come back to live here, I stumbled upon a storytelling course. I actually went to I went to a performance and I walked into the room. And I saw this woman and this man sitting on a stage telling stories. And I suddenly had this visceral sense, like in my body, like the walls were shaking, like, oh, this is who I am. This is what I do. Because I've been telling stories for a long time and I hadn't really noticed, I hadn't really paid attention. So I immediately signed up for a storytelling course. And when I told my friends and family, I remember I said to my big brother, I've signed up for a storytelling course. And he goes, oh, of course you have. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you've been telling stories since before you could walk. And I
See,
was like,
that's what I
really?
think.
Really? I didn't, but I then honed the craft. I spent years learning storytelling and working with mentors in storytelling. And then I discovered actually, at the same time, I was looking at coaching. And I discovered that most small businesses and most coaches, they were really, really bad at telling their story. And they were not doing well in business because they couldn't talk about what they did in a way that was compelling. And that's when I came up with this idea of story coach, of like help people tell stories in their business so that they can be more successful. And
And it's
as I
also,
honed into
is it
that,
about
yeah.
making the story as authentic as possible? We're talking about authentic success here. Is it because
Yeah.
that's my branding, Living Authentic Success? It's all about being authentic, exactly being
Yeah.
true
Yeah.
to who you are. And
Yeah.
that's what's so captive for other people, making yourself vulnerable. Is that the core?
So, well, yes and no. So, storytelling has been around forever, but I think traditionally it was like, let's figure out what story we want people to hear and we'll tell it so that we can manipulate them to buy what we
No,
want. And that's not
that's
what I'm
not
talking
what,
about, right?
no, me
What I'm talking about
neither.
is exactly what you're describing. It's really showing up with your story, with
Yes.
your experience, but being able to craft it such that it actually has the kind of impact you want. So
Yes.
it's not spontaneously telling anything you want
No.
from your life. It's more about saying, okay, what is going to impact people
Yes.
to move them to whether it's to develop themselves, to feel better, to do the thing that you know will help them. It's from a place of service and it's from a place of authenticity. Now, the reason I said yes or no is because I don't believe in vulnerability for the sake of
No,
vulnerability.
I
But I
agree.
do think that if you can be vulnerable and be real in the way and be authentic in the way you tell your stories, that is the most powerful thing there is. The most powerful, without a doubt.
I think I remember in our working together that we were talking about pivotal moments, some moments that really
Yeah.
is that what we're talking about that is authentic, the pivotal
Well,
moments in
the
your
pivotal
life
moment
where.
is so there's pivotal moments and there's pivotal events, right? So
Okay.
the events are like the big things, the death, birth, marriage, moving countries, whatever. But the moments are these single moments in time that to me, they're like the seed of beautiful stories. It's when something happens and you just feel this emotional shift or you feel some kind of a shift, you're not quite the same after as you were before. And that's the place where story has just happened. And that's the place that you grab and you begin to kind of craft out. You know, I remember I think we worked out that we worked together more than 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember one of your stories. I remember one of your pivotal moments.
Tell
It
me.
stayed with me for 10 years.
Tell me.
It was when your children came home from school and you were in bed because you were unable to get up. And they sat on the bed and they told you about their day. And you realized in that moment that you could love them without doing anything for them. I've never forgotten that.
If you would ask them today, when I was at my best, that's probably the moment, because I couldn't judge. I couldn't, you know, say, do this, do that. I couldn't criticize them. I couldn't bring them from there to there and judge about whatever they were doing. It was all about being and just listening and just, you know, opening myself up to their story, you see. And that was
that's
such,
beautiful.
Oh, that you touch me so deeply. I get goosebumps all over my body when you tell that story, because it was a moment in my life. And I still today, and I made a lot of mistakes as a mother before those moments,
We all do.
because, you know, you are in your doing modus. But since I've been ill, I've really done all I could to be present. With my grandchildren, it's such a different thing. I don't judge. I don't, you are just at their level present, and that's all they need. So thank you for sharing that story.
Well, I can tell you, Danielle, I have probably heard thousands, if not tens of thousands of stories since you told me that story, but that stayed with me. And that's the power of story. That stayed with me. And whenever I, you know, if your name came up, and we haven't been in contact in the last 10 years, but the minute you reached out to me, that story came to my mind. Yeah.
That's the power of story, hey?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you didn't know I was going to tell you this.
So. We didn't talk about it at all. So thank you for sharing that, because that's actually the foundation, I think, of your business and the foundation of my, and I'm not saying business, eh? I'm talking about our passion, our mission, it's the foundation of living authentic success. It's going into those things, learning something from it, maybe sharing it and see if it touches people, even one person. Yes, the story has had its effect. That's why I'm doing this radio show. So I just want to say thank you for who you are, because if you do this just with me and look at this, and you have done this for hundreds of people, you have heard maybe thousands of stories. So can you imagine the effect, how you are living authentic success in that way? What is authentic success to you, Lisa?
Well, you know, I think I'm a very practical person. And so for me, authentic success is being able to do the thing I love, to recognize that I'm good at it. I don't say that lightly, because I think as very often as women growing up, you're taught to be very humble. And so to do what you love, to recognize that you're good at it.
Wow.
And then to be able to impact other people and most important, well, not most importantly, but as importantly, to make a living.
I agree.
Because, you know, there were times where that was not an easy thing. And to be able to say, I can do the thing I love, I can build something, I can impact people's lives, and I can pay my rent or pay my mortgage, that to me is authentic success. So it's not about having, you know, it's not about having X amount of income, and it's not about the big house and the fancy whatever. It's just about being able to make choices to live the life I want to live and to support that life through the thing I love, which is just, I feel so, so blessed to be able to do that. Yeah.
Is there a statement, or we come at the end almost to go so quickly, but is there a statement, a quote, something that you live by, even in these difficult months now, that you, is there a quote and a statement that you live by that keeps you, you know, into that authenticity, into that authentic success, that you would advise to anyone listening or somebody hearing your story? Or is there a quote or a statement that you can share with
Well,
us?
I'm going to take a minute to explain this, but for many, many years, I really struggled with stage fright,
Oh,
which might be surprising because
yeah.
I've spoken in something like 20 countries around the world, and I've been on stages and the whole thing. But to this day, I still get stage fright. And when I there was one time, the very first time my partner came with me on a business trip, and I was doing a big conference, and I had a stage with 200 and something people in the room. And I remember in the few moments before, I was so nervous. And then the phone rang, and he took a call, and he walked away. And when he came back, I had removed myself from the room. I was doing what I do to prepare myself, and then I got up in front of these people, and I did my workshop. And at the end, I said to him, "So what did you think?" And he's like, "What happened to you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, how did you go from being this like mess 5 minutes before to getting up on the stage and being so present and so powerful?" And I said to him, "Oh, that's really interesting. That's never occurred to me." And then he said to me, "Well, what did you do?" And I thought through, "Well, what did I do?" And I came up with what my preparation is. And then I went on to teach people it and the whole thing. But like one of the things that I do before I prepare when I'm very nervous is it's kind of like a mantra, and the mantra is trust the story.
Oh, wow.
And when I say trust the story, and it kind of sounds ironic after I talked earlier on about fake news and fake stories and whatever, when I say trust the story, I mean trust the inner story,
Yes.
right? Trust the
Yes.
story of who you truly are,
Oh,
right? And
beautiful.
so, and for me, because I use a lot of folk tales and fairy tales in my work, I also really, really deeply trust the stories I choose to tell in the moment. So if I bring a fairy tale, I know that it's there for the right reason. I've done the work to make sure that it's going to have the impact. So like I have to just trust, because my head would say, "Oh, these executives don't want to hear a silly storyteller, a silly story, or all that stuff." But I know that I can trust the story, and I remind myself I can trust the story because the story does the work. So can I end
Beautiful.
with a story?
Yes, please.
Okay, because there's this beautiful
Last one.
story. It's the very last thing, and it's a beautiful story that really, I think it's really pertinent given the first half of our conversation. So there was a king once who wanted to understand peace, the concept of peace, and he wanted to have a picture of peace. So he sent out a notification to all of the kingdom that anybody who could draw the perfect picture of peace would be greatly rewarded. And so many, many people brought to the palace paintings and pictures. They all wanted to bring the perfect picture of peace. And the king gathered them all up, and he slowly, deliberately went through every single picture. And it took him days until finally he had boiled it down to two pictures, and he wanted to choose which one was the perfect picture of peace. Now, the first picture, it was this beautiful lake surrounded by gorgeous mountains that were lush and had trees, and just it was so beautiful. And above the mountains, there was a perfect blue sky with a couple of little fluffy clouds going through it. And it certainly, anybody who looked at it said it was the perfect picture of peace. The second picture, it also had water and mountains, but these mountains were rugged and bare, and the water was a crashing waterfall that came down the side. And above the mountains was a dark sky, and there were thunderclouds and everything. But when he looked closely, he saw that in the waterfall, behind the water, there was a rock jutting out. And on the rock, there was a bush. And in the bush, there was a bird sitting on her nest, a mother bird. And he looked at those paintings, and he went back and forth. And finally, he went with the second painting because he said, "True peace is not when everything is perfect around you. True peace is when you're sitting in that one place and you have peace in your heart. That's the true meaning of peace." And so, my wish for you and for everybody listening is that you achieve that peace in your heart, no matter what is going on around you. So I'm looking for that when I'm swimming my lengths, and I'm looking for that when I'm walking outside with my dog. But I wish for everybody that there be peace in your heart.
There's a quote that I want to end with that makes me think of that, and that is about maybe you've heard about it, the bird sitting on the tree is not afraid that the branch is breaking as it trusts its own wings. And
Beautiful.
that for me is a little bit like what you were saying. Thank you so much, Lisa Bloom. Really, thank you so much from my heart to yours for this conversation. I'm going to have a little break and come back after just now. Thank you, Lisa.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This conversation has touched me so deeply that I can still feel it in my bones. I have to tell you, I thought we were going to talk a lot about stories, but the stories in the first half of this conversation have touched me really deeply, because these are stories of real life. Stories, like she was saying to us, that are real, that are hard to tell, that even Lisa herself has never told these stories publicly, because these stories about war are such cruel, brutal stories that even it's like the evil itself. If you live, can you imagine living as a mother of four sons? I think they're between 17 and 25, if I believe. Three of them going into the army to fight at the in the Gaza, you know, the Gaza region. I mean, I cannot imagine the stress that it must be for a mother. And how she copes with it. Isn't it beautiful how fear is an emotion? So we need to have that energy in motion. And she goes into the movement of swimming, the intentional breathing of swimming, because it is helpful to move the stress through you and resetting yourself when you are doing sports, whether it's walking, swimming, cycling. And I found that quite a very good tip. And I understand that that is one of the coping mechanisms that she is, you know, taking on herself to do on a regular basis, I believe almost every day. Because stories can get stuck. Fear makes us getting stuck in those stories. And so, as she was saying, the things you see, you can't unsee, and the things you hear, you can't unhear. And certainly in an atmosphere of war, I mean, can you believe it? But you can let it go. She was talking so sweetly about not living them again and finding ways to let the story go. Because any trauma is a story in your head. It's always subjective. And as I was saying, sometimes the narratives are lies that we, you know, our perception, how we think of our parents. She was talking about her father at the end of his life. All these things, it's sometimes just our story, our perception, our narrative. And we need to be very conscious about that, because that on its own can give us stress. While looking at it from a different angle can already help us to look at the interpretation. And of course, let's not underestimate 4 months of war, because as she was saying, the beginning of October, that's when it started. And we are now 4 months later, and it's still the same. They're still in the middle of it. It's almost surreal. And so that self-care that I talk about every single day and every message on Instagram, go to my Instagram, Danielle_Sachs, go to my LinkedIn page, wherever you want for inspiration on how to go from stress to authentic success. Self-care, conscious self-care, holistic self-care is one of the biggest parts of that. And so I truly believe and understand that Lisa was telling us about how this whole situation has shaken their beliefs, because this, it's time to hear the reality, the disconnection in this world that is going on. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about human life, humanity itself. The respect for the people is in so many places, it's gone. Where are the values? And so, isn't it amazing how she was talking about a story is, and she told real life stories about her sons, about the war, about, and that is what's moving us, the real stories. A story is an authentic story, is from a place of service, is what you can share with other people, your story, your life moments, events. That's what you can share to help others deal with their stress. If you can share how you dealt with it and how you see it, it inspires others. And that's why I wanted to have Lisa on this show, because to me, that's what I'm doing. I'm sharing my story with you in the trust that my stories and the stories that I bring through other people, through other experts, is touching your heart, is giving you the motivation and the inspiration to go into your story and live your story and bring it out. Because authentic success, like Lisa was saying, is doing what you love, standing into your story and bringing your talent and your story to impact others and make a good living from it. So trust the story. And I just want to, at the end of this show, thank Lisa again for sharing that story about me lying flat and just being a mom. Not the doing mom, but the being mom that I was when I was ill. And I've never forgotten that. It was a pivotal moment for me. And thank you, Lisa, for reminding me of that, because it still, until today, is my purpose and my message to you, listener, to start being exactly who you are. And with that, I am going to leave you. I'm sending you love. I'm sending you the same wish as Lisa. Peace in your heart. Peace around who you are and what you are meant to be in this world. I'm giving you a big hug from Belgium. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.